In the science of the spoken word, we have to understand that the that there is a different parts of the language. There is a part of the language that is very negative, and we hear that a lot. Curse words, things like this, derogatory remarks, negative phrases, negative terms, negative words that take energy from us. Then we have the positive side of language, which energizes us. See, cursing is the negative side, blessing is the positive side. So you're either blessing or cursing things, or you're neutral. And there's neutral energies in the language. There are neutral terms in the language. So you should start watching what part of the language you're using, whether you're using the negative side more than the positive side, positive side more than the negative side, or the neutral side. Where are you coming from in your science of the spoken word? Because either you are a malediction or a benediction to your life, the way you are speaking, the terms you're using. Not only that, the inflection of the words, the sound behind the words, is it a positive sound or a negative sound, or is it just neutral? Some people, they just talk like this, and they just go, and they're right there, it's just one, and there's others, it's very nice, and they're going up and down, then there are those, and they're always going down, there's always going up. So, look at this. Are you the kind of person who goes up at the end of the sentence? You go down at the end of the sentence? The first thing I noticed when I went to Hawaii after I left the mainland, at the end of the sentence they say, yeah, yes, yeah, yes. And over here they say, no, no, no. They were saying no at the end. Over there the people were more freer and open. Over here the people were getting more close. And so I took a quick look at that, because I remember at the end I was in the kind of language at the end I would say no, because everybody else had said no. And so in the language you have this positive side of the language, you have the negative side of the language, and you have the neutral side of the language. And so you must start adjusting yourself to bring forth positives, like praising people, you know, saying nice things to them. Gee, your hair looks nice today. God, I love that green. It's beautiful. Wow, you look really nice today in your outfit there. Your smile. Very nice. You know, something nice to say to the individual. When you see somebody, think of something I can say nice to this individual today. Something I can give them nice. Something I can give them positive. Some positive energy. Because the world is a reflection to you. And your words are crystallized thought. And so what you're saying is the crystallization of what you're thinking and what is inside of you. Once you have said it, that vibration goes on forever. It becomes part of your song, part of your melody. How have you been singing the eternal song of being? You see, your vibration is emanating in your life stream for all eternity. And so as you take and speak, this comes part of your life stream. There are periods maybe when you've been heavy, cursing, and mad, and upset, and that's part of your song. But how you sing this song of life, so to speak, or crystallize the thought, is all self-determined. Now you may, as we talked about the conditioned reactions and habit patterns last night, you may have a habit of saying a certain thing because mom said it, dad said it, the group you run around said it, you know. I remember when I came from Tahoe, there was a statement, it was kind of a kidding statement, saying, oh, we don't care what they say about you, we still like you. And I remember one fellow, he was working with him, he was a Filipino man. He was working away over here, and I went over and I was talking to him, and then I had this little colloquialism, and I said, I don't care what they say about you, I still like you. He goes, who's saying it? What are they saying? I said, oh, nothing, nothing. And for 3 days, he pestered me. What? I said, no, no, it's just something I say, you know, that was something they said, you know, like right on, or, you know, shaka bra, or something, you know, it's just like that. And he finally realized that it was just, you know, saying that. But he wondered who was talking about him. You see, he took it literally. You see. So there are certain things that we say that we say in jest, you see. But if the individual isn't in the same area of consciousness, they may not take it the same way. So you have to be very careful of what you're saying. You might say something to somebody that you're just saying in jest, but they take it very seriously. And if you're not paying attention, you may wonder why that person doesn't want to be around you, or why they don't want to talk to you anymore. See? You might have just said something, you know, off the wall, so to speak, and they're going, I don't want to be around them, and they're negative, they confronted me, or they laughed at me, or something, you know. They did some silly thing, and you laughed. You thought it was really silly. You're laughing over here, and they're going, hurting over here, because they're really taking it serious, and then they think you're laughing at them. So you have to watch what you're saying. Be aware of what you're crystallizing. Chanting helps to clear your song, to bring your song to a finer tone, so to speak, to intone the vibrations of mind, the thoughts, to intone them, to speak them, to articulate them, to speak them out. There is many different types of communication with higher fields of consciousness that the science of the spoken word is used in. But in the everyday affair, we are looking to bring up the quality of our conversations, the quality of our dialogue. We're seeking to eliminate all the put-downs, because when somebody says something to you, even if it isn't jest, it goes into the subconscious mind, and it doesn't always hold the same vibration in there. It may get in sympathy with some other vibration. If you feel bad about yourself, even though somebody was saying, you know, you got a funny nose, you know, maybe they were not really kidding, but, you know, and you go, you're looking in the mirror for the next couple of days trying to, is my nose okay? And then the more you look at it, the bigger it gets, you see. Everything gets exaggerated, right? So, the more energy you put into something, the more attention will be there, the more energy will be there. So you have to be careful of this. I remember when I was working at Disneyland in 1957, there was a policy. You could make no derogatory remarks about the shape of anybody's body, face, their dialect, or anything like this. They made it very plain that everyone was to be treated with respect and equal. You see, even the children were all to be, everybody was an individual, and you were not to, you know, make fun of them in any way. And so that was part of the policy, not to make fun of the people. Well, when people go there, they really enjoy themselves. They feel very free. Behind the scenes, that's the policy. Even though all the people don't know that, I mean, they don't walk up and down the street saying, we're not going to make fun of anybody, you know, come on in here. They're not doing that, you see. That's just part of the policy. Well, in you, as you make these rules, these laws, these efforts in consciousness to establish a particular vibration, as you make those in yourself, you're going to be affecting people that you come in contact with without ever saying anything. How many times have you come up to somebody and you just felt the way they were? You just knew that, man, that person is heavy. You know, if I say something to them, they'll just cut me to pieces. Then I'll just keep my mouth shut. And they haven't even said anything yet. Or I could talk to that person all day and they wouldn't even understand all I'm saying. And, you know, you've got some kind of an opinion or something that you've made of an individual. Or these kind of people do this all the time, or this kind of lady, or this age bracket, or this, you know, when they get old, every one of them loses their memory, everyone gets blind and crippled. And, you know, we put all these things on generalities. When every individual should be taken as an individual, every conversation should be taken as an individual conversation. What you are seeking to accomplish right there. I remember teaching businessmen this consciousness, and all of their business dealings got better, smoother, calmer, had better, salesmen had better closes, the managers had better ability to talk to their people. So, in the science of the spoken word, in dealing with the people, don't let past experiences bind you now. Always do the best you can right now. The best you can now. And so if you do make a mistake, don't say, oh, no, no, I don't want to say that. I want to say that, you know, don't do that in front of somebody. make a mental note of it, correct yourself, and if you can correct it within the conversation at that moment, correct it, but don't bring a big obvious energy to it. See, because then the individual, when they see it, they'll point out whatever you pointed out. Right back to you. They'll reflect it right back to you. So if you are calm and collective and self-controlled, then they reflect that respect of that position back. You can get support for any position in consciousness. Hitler got support. Christ got support. You can see these streams there. Everyone can get support. If you have an idea, something you want to do in the world, there are people that will help you do that. You see, when I had the idea of bringing the church for one God, for the world, worldwide church, not just a local type church, the worldwide church for the one God, I held the idea, and now I have other people that are working with me on that idea to bring one God, one humanity, one light to the world, you see. And so I've been supporting it because I talked about that. That's what I talked about. That's what I expressed. What you express is what you get. You are crystallizing these thoughts. They do take on forms and colors in the aura, and people will relate to those things. Someone that is heavy in their aura, in their language, will have heaviness in their aura. They'll have, if they do a lot of dark talk, they'll have dark spots in their aura. If they do talk about light, then their aura is light. You see? And so, what are you talking? You're talking that takes things into unconscious, into confusion, into negative terms, or is it coming into positive energies, into the writer's side of the language? So watch the language. The science of spoken word is something you use every single day, and it's important to have your words have power. As you start purifying the way you speak, your words will begin to have more power. When you say something, it'll be more firm. You will affirm it stronger as you purify your spoken word. When you invoke a power, there won't be anything in your subconscious mind to stop the flow of that power because you are stuck on the words some way. Words are down here in the intellectual mind. They're in the thinking mind. They're in reason and logic areas. They're in conclusions, assumptions, comparison, judgments, opinions. And they have nothing to do with spirituality. Because in the higher fields, the spirit guides and the angels and the angelic beings and cosmic beings, the masters of light, Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, talk to you in impression, not in words. Not in words, but in impression. And some people have been fooled a long time by listening to their objective mind, like that when you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, count inside with the one you say, what is one and one, and then the voice comes back saying two inside. That's an objective mind. That is not your spiritual level of consciousness. And I've seen people for years be found in that, even though it may be a very good part of the intellect that they're getting in touch with, it's still only the seventh level of the intellect. See, the spiritual level of the intellect. In each of the levels, in the physical, emotional, mental, in the environmental, in the higher abstract mind, in the superconscious mind, in the cosmic conscious mind, in the master mind, in Christ's mind, in the spirit mind, in the mind of light and energy of consciousness, each one of these mental forms have a different application. And intellect is way down here, all that is way down on the scale, because the concept is much faster than the description. The concept is much faster than description. Precept is much faster than description. And description comes from this area of the objective mental lower body. So it's called the lower mental body. And so it deals with thinking, it deals with reasoning and logic, it deals with assumptions, conclusions, comparisons, judgments, opinions. And in order for you to reach meditation, you have to overcome those. In this particular area of mind, there's also some waves that you need to watch out for. The first wave, which is not an ordinary wave to mind that must be taught to the individual, is skepticism. Skepticism. Skepticism, unless you take and put your practice into practice, your mind will stay skeptical until you have results. As soon as you have results, then the skepticism goes away because you have a direct experience. Skepticism can't stand in the face of direct knowledge, direct experience. So as you do your meditation, as you do the chants, as you do the exercise, your mind will see the power of them, and then the skeptical wave will fall away because you'll see the reality and the truth of what you're doing. And exactly what it is. The mystery will be unveiled by direct knowledge. And so, by the repetition, and this, with the mantra, or the chant, or whatever you're doing, you lift your mind, you're lifting your consciousness. In this area of mind, we have the power of observation in this area of mind. And the skeptical wave will observe a lot. See, the observation can come through the skeptical wave, or it can be coming through the thinking wave, it can come through a comparison wave, like you're comparing things. Now let me tell you why opinions, conclusions, comparisons, judgments, those things are not good to do. And assumptions. First, assumption means to assume something before it happens. And see, that is not the truth. It's only the truth when it happens. So assumptions can help us to a certain point, but they're not the truth. See, until they happen. And so you can assume, oh, I thought that you thought that 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 I thought that. You ever get those kind? Well, I thought that you were going to... That's an assumption, you see. Don't make assumptions, because they are saying something before it happens, and that's not the truth. Another thing is, don't make comparisons. There is no comparison. You can take 50,000 leaves off this tree out of here, and every one will be different. There'll be different shapes, there'll be different ages, there'll be different thicknesses, there'll be different sizes. You won't find two alike. You see, they're all individuals. You're an individual. There's no one like you. There has never been anybody like you. There never will be anybody like you. You are an individual conscious manifestation. An individual, one with all other individuals, you see. And so you must realize there's no comparison to your individual. That's where a lot of people lose out. How can you compare yourself with this particular person's achievements or someone else's achievements? You see, that's not true. You would have to be them to do that. You can do something similar to it. But you can't be them. That's called envy. That takes you out of the realm of letting that individual have what they have. You're trying to take it away from them. I want that. Instead, I am doing something similar. So don't compare yourself. Comparisons are not the truth. The higher consciousness. They help us in analyzing things and stuff like that for our own benefits. But they don't help us in the world, because there's nobody like us. We are all individuals. See, Christ was the only begotten Son. Boy, when you hear that, you say, wait a minute, what about the rest of us? You see, and we get all upset sometimes. Because they say, well, gee, he's the only one. Well, why, what's about the rest? See, because he's the one that's all that light, all the light of consciousness and sustaining power. And so, you are one, and you are becoming one with the one. You are becoming interdependent. At first, the first thing you were supposed to learn when you got to planet Earth was your individuality. That you're an individual, that you have a special set of energies that no one else has. Some people may do similar things to you, but they don't do everything you do. Identical twins don't do the same thing. You see. They don't even, there's always something different about them. They don't always look alike in every respect. One may have a little skinnier legs than the other one. Or maybe their lips a little different shape or something like this. But there's always something if you concentrate and observe. This is how you control this area of mind, through observation. You control the physical by paying attention to see how to do it, how it works. You concentrate to bring your emotional energies from exaggeration, from scattering, from all that. You concentrate. And control of the mental wave is observation. Now, making a conclusion means you've stopped something. Well, everything is going on forever. It's infinite. eternal existence. And to say something stopping is illusion, because everything continues. Even if it leaves this time and this space, it's still continuing its vibration. It will be in emanation till God's will is something else, till the day of creation is over, till the out-breath of creation becomes the in-breath and all comes back to where it began. Whatever the case may be, what God has planned, who knows? There's so many suppositions. Well, suppose this is going to happen, or maybe that's going to happen, you see. And this is going to conclude, or that's going to conclude. We've been trying to conclude wars for how long? Well, war started in heaven, now it's here on earth. You see, that's where war started. The only thing we've ever had out here is what's been in heaven. This is the manifestation of the inner fields, the heavenly fields. Heaven is within. God is within. You see, you've heard that. Who's at the head of your hierarchy inside? Who's the head of your consciousness within? Is God the head of your consciousness within? Or do you know who's the head? Is there some voice talking to you don't even know who that is? See? Who is the head there? What's gotten into you? That's what my grandma used to say. What's gotten into you? Why did you take the icing off the cake like that? And I take the rose off. Just take one. They'll never miss one, and there's a spudge there, and you try to... And grandma would say, what's gotten into you? Same. Little mischievous spirit there? What do you let in? Your inner world is a sacred world, and whatever's gotten into you, you've left through the door. In your consciousness, you've left the door open, it's come in. If you don't like it, clean house. Get out of here. Behind me, devil. Leave me. See, make a definite demand in this area of mind. Command your thinking. Command your opinions and your conclusions, your assumptions, your comparisons. You can do that in consciousness, but that it is not a reality. You can do that for analytic abilities. You can do that at the end of project or things like this, but it never ends the project. Once it's complete, it's still going in its form, isn't it? You're just not doing anything, so you say that's the end of it, but it's not, it's still going, isn't it? You see? They say when the car comes off of the assembly line, well, that's the end of it, but that's not the end, that's just the beginning for someone else. You see? And then when that person uses as long as they want, they've ended their use, but then, see, they can, someone else can come along by that used car, it continues to be used. See, so the car keeps going, people come in and out of the ownership of it. So that's what happens in life. We don't get this awareness of concluding things, stopping things. That's illusion. The master lets things flow. Conclusion stops prosperity. Making a bunch of conclusions stops prosperity. It puts a block saying this is the end, and there's nothing goes any further than this. Then there's a buildup. The next thing you know, you got mental problems. You got headaches. You got problems in your life. You got negative thoughts. It starts affecting your nervous system. Next thing you know, you're down on yourself. So you have to be very careful in that area. No assumptions, no comparisons, no conclusions. Opinions are individual. Opinion is from that one individual. I've had opinions where people say, and one day they says, this guy is nothing but a black magician. And about an hour later, this lady comes in, she says, you're a holy Joe. And I just went on, and neither one of them bothered me, because that was their opinion, you see. That was their opinion. And then later, they changed them around. After they'd been there a while, they changed them around. That I would command the room, I would put everyone to, that was in, came to this particular type of class, it was master's class, I'd just take over the room. And I would work with their mind, and I'd work with their subconscious minds, and I'd just reprogram them. And say, you're willing to do this. And so, because I just did that to them, but I never did it without asking, she'd come in when that was going on, and I was reprogramming someone's consciousness and going through their records and everything to move them very quickly. Well, that individual is now in Chicago teaching for us, and is in opulence, and she's got her clothes in big department store, and she teaches dancing and music and singing. We have a tape called The Journey of the Soul that she made. I don't know what I have on my table, if I don't have it on the table. Her name is Iwasan. She's 24 years old, and now she came to me when she was 19. And she had all this talent, and she thought she had to just do one thing. And I says, no, your talent is that you can do many things. You can find a principle and then apply it to dancing, or apply it to art, or apply it to your music, or apply it to your clothing design. See? So she designs clothes and things like this, and now she's working with silks and a big. But here this woman came in, she says, oh, the way he was doing that, he was just making her go through all kinds of things. And there was one moment she was sobbing, next moment she was laughing, I was pushing all these different buttons in her subconscious mind, adjusting her energies. And so she thought I was a magician for doing that. She didn't hear the whole thing. But don't take things out of sequence. Don't take them out of context. See the whole picture. One that you made missing. So remember, opinions come from individuals. And that's their individual opinion from what they know, what they feel, what they think, the way they act, the things that have happened in their life. The way they create, that comes from them, the individual, to the total of their awareness. Some people may give you greater opinions than other people, but opinion still comes from an individual. I remember when I started on the path, I was told to be confirmed by a master. I said, well, wait, why? You know, if I feel right with God, that's all I need. But I did. I followed instructions, and I got confirmed by masters. People that were in the spiritual world and doing the work and traveling in the world, things like this, and I had them confirm me to do these kinds of things, confirmed by the Brotherhood and that. Then when I got out in the world, and people come up and says, well, you don't know this or you don't know that, I've been confirmed by a master that knows, can see my light. He's clairvoyant, he's completely awakened spiritually, and everything, he can see everything that I'm doing. As you see, I surrendered completely, opened completely. See? So when this individual reflected that opinion, I got a chance to pray for them. See, and bless them free. But remember, it's only an individual. So, opinions come from individuals. Don't take opinion as the mass, as everybody's thought. Put it in perspective. It's one individual talking to another individual. And when you take and get off the planet, you can't even see the people. A small thing. When you get out of this solar system, you can't even see the planet Earth or the sun. You start getting far out there. This sun dwarfs. It's just a dwarf star. It's lost among all the other stars when you get out here a couple hundred light years. See? So start putting your consciousness in perspective. The cosmos. You see, there's an individual, a speck of light, talking to another step of light that has infinite possibility. That has infinite possibility. Every one of you have infinite possibility. When you have your individuality, then you can give it up to the Supreme. But if you don't have it, you don't have the control, what are you giving up? Uncontrolled energies? What do you surrender? It's a new life gift. When this life is over to right before the throne of God, you want a gift. And what you're going to give them is the experience of your life. Whatever you experience, that's what you'll take with you. Not the things you ignored, not the things that you didn't get involved with, the things you experienced and felt, the things that you had deep within that impressed your soul. Because your body will drop away, the emotions will drop away, this mind will drop away, and the soul will be vibrant in light. So you're seeking. Don't be stuck in thoughts. Don't be stuck in opinions. There's some people's opinions, if you let it, can crush you. So, opinion, perspective, comes from an individual. So look at that individual. They may have special qualifications that you're looking for that particular opinion. So, take it in perspective. Okay, judgments. Now, this is the worst thing to use on anybody. Judge not, lest you be judged. First of all, you're putting yourself into a position of God when you start judging other people. How can you judge anybody else? They may have to go through
that particular experience for their soul and spiritual evolution, God can see the big picture while you're looking through the television here on earth. Limited by your experiences, limited by this individual here. See, until you become one with all-pervading oneness and in the realization of God consciousness, you should exercise, instead of judgment, compassion, mercy, love, and understanding. You see, judge not lest you be judged, because you'll get the same kind of judgments back upon yourself. So judgments, they'll hold you back. But when you're saying, should I step on this ice here, you better judge whether it's going to hold you or not. See, you use it for your welfare, you use it in analytic abilities, you use it for correlation, you use it for business purposes, you use it for reason and logic, but you do not use it for spiritual consciousness or on others. You see? That's to use on you. Use it for your benefits and for you. That's why it's been given to you, that power. It's not to judge others. Who am I to say that the man sweeping the street is not a master? Boy, I had one master come to me in disguise. And he came disguised, the back was ripped out of his pants. His pants was filthy dirty. All the buttons but two was missing from his shirt. He was eating out of the garbage cans. He was sleeping under the trees in the park. Oh, I went over there and I gave him a new pair of pants, a new shirt, some fruit, and all this. And I sat right next to him. I sat down there. And he looked at me. He looked at it. He looked at me. And he looked at it. And then he went over and he got into the garbage can. And he started looking in there for some food. I says, there's fruit in this bag. You can have it. And so I got up and I walked away thinking, well, he'll go back and pick it up. And I went down about three blocks and I was watching him up there. What's he doing? Here come another guy along. Picked up the bag. And it had one of our t-shirts that had the Siam thing on it. But it had, down at the bottom, it had a man sitting in a lotus position rather than a man standing up there. And he had a bright light in his heart. And so this, it was another guy, another bum, to come along and pick up this bag. Oh, I'm so sorry for this guy. He's going to get arrested. He's going to be thrown in jail. And I looked around and he was gone. And standing like a fucking crazy guy. I was walking up and I walked around. And I looked and there he was sitting right there. He looks up at me and he just smiled. And I realized something that happened. I had made an opinion that he needed the clothes and he needed the food for me. I made that opinion. I made that judgment in my mind. I was down here in intellect. I was here in my feelings, feeling sorry for him, and worried about him, and all these kind of things. I was down here in personality. You see? And I went over and after a while, I got to talk to him. He says, I gave up the world. I want anything for the world. I'll just take the scraps of the world. That's what I'm doing as my surrender. And he chose to do it. Who are you to say he's doing the wrong thing? Maybe you don't want to live that way, but that's his way. You see, that's what he decided to do. To live outside, to be in the world that way. So he admitted it. Then I was meditating. He came into my meditation and turned into Christ. I said, thank you. Thank you for this enlightenment. He said, who are you to say a person should live a certain way? There was a master, and I forget his particular name, but he never wore any clothes. Lived in India, and he would sit on dung heaps and on garbage piles, and he radiated beautiful fragrances. He never took a bath. He never did any of that. He says, it's where your mind is at, is how you'll smell. He says, I'm in the sweet nectar of God's consciousness. I'm a natural child of God. And he believed this. And he was one of the one who looked on his groups. And he went around to himself. So who are we to judge this man saying, oh, how horrible this is. He's running around naked,
what a terrible thing. Look, and what are the women going to think? You know, what are the kids going to think? What are you thinking? See, that's where the point is. How are you responding to it? How are you responding to it? How do you know that that wasn't a divine providence? What happened? You can see the people there when they're saying, you know, Barbarous or Christ? Pick one. Barbarous or Christ? And they say, give us Barbarous! He was a murderer. The people chose him. And he said, Christ, save yourself. Yeah. Go up here. You're the king. Come off the cross. Come on now. He honored him and did things like that. But if he wouldn't have went through all that, he would have never fulfilled the prophecy. He would have never been resurrected in the life. We would have never had that happen. You see. So how are we to say that was the wrong thing? That's a judgment. You see. God has the picture. And life is an ever-changing experience. So, opinions, conclusions, comparison, judgments will all stop you from getting into meditation, into your higher powers and consciousness. You've got to drop them all against everybody else. Use them on yourself. By doing this, by sitting down and doing the meditation, by disciplining yourself and doing the breathing exercise, by controlling yourself, you get willpower. Willpower. And when you can do things in free will, that's the willpower you want. Free will. Do you know whose will is free to do anything? God's will. Not my will, but God's will, we say. What has your will got you so far? Have you been happy? Have you got everything you wanted in your life? Have you been able to obtain the things? I went for 35 years pushing and shoving and studying and going up the ladder and getting in the higher management and things like that. And no matter what I did, I wasn't happy. I pushed my way and all this. I could always will myself into any position I wanted to be in. But I always had to take and step on somebody's toes or, you know, not support somebody. And I had to make these judgments, I had to make these opinions, I had to make these separations. Anything that separates, divides, or lowers any person, place, or thing, or of God's creation, is of the negative forces, of the forces of darkness. Those that unite, uplift, and give life is the positive forces, the forces of light. So here I was using negative forces. No wonder I wasn't getting one. But as soon as I said, okay, let it be your will, God, everything I ever wanted has come. And I don't even have to ask. It's there. It's like a gift. Wow. How wonderful. How wonderful. God will give you such a beautiful gift when you give up your willpower for God's will, which is free will. Our will is stuck will. It's limited will. It's bound will. And if you're going to use the willpower, use it on you to set yourself down in meditation. Use it on you to hold your attention, concentration, observation, pointed on the colors. You see, use that willpower on you. Don't try to use it on others. Then you're breaking their will. Then the law of the life attracts the light comes into being. Then you're subject to have your will broken. How many times you've broken somebody else's will, and the next thing you know, somebody was going over you. You see, a life attracts a life. So it's only wisdom not to break someone else's will, but let them do what they want to. You see? My son, he was reaching for this hot thing. I said, don't do that. I'm going to do it. I said, don't, it's hot. I said, okay. Sydney. I said, see, I let you have your will. You see, I have experience. I could help you there. Now I'm telling something. You still But I'm not going to make opinion about that. That's his life. I'm going to help him every way I can. You see, you can help people, but you can't will them to do things. That is negative. Use your will on others. That takes away their will. That belittles them. That says,
they're not capable of making their own decisions or handling their life or doing what they need to do. You're taking away their freedom, their mastery, their self-control. When you say they have to do this or have to do that. I've never seen a woman change a man as was drinking by being willful with him and pushing on him. See? Leading him to his decision to quit. I've seen that happen. But I've seen when they try to push, what happens when you try to get pushed? You push back. See, the intellectual game is push-pull. Reject, accept. Some people, when they get rejected, oh, they want to do everything nice so they get accepted again. And so some people use the push to get the pull. They push them away. I'm like, you don't come around me. The next thing, what's wrong with me? Yeah, well, then they start coming around. You see, push-pull games, that's where this goes on. And this intellectual level, pushing, pulling. And so words can be pushing or pulling on you. Binding you, making you think a certain thing over and over and over and over and over. That's called worry. When a thought keeps going over and over and over and over and it doesn't have a decision, see, decision is the way you change the energy. Not conclusions, assumptions, comparisons, opinions. Decision changes the energy. So when you get your willpower, when you start making decisions, you start getting more power over your mind, then you can do what you want to do, because without will, you can't even move your arm to write. You couldn't move an eye. You couldn't move this body or a thought or a feeling without willpower. See? Desire is the fuel. Willpower is the vehicle. Desire gives it the fuel, but willpower is how it carries it there. You see, you can desire something, but unless you're willing to do it, it will never get done. You can desire all day, but unless you put it in the vehicle of will, nothing will happen to it, you see. So you need your willpower, you need your abilities here. How do we get control of this area of mind? How can we get control of this area of mind? We set goals. Set goals to get control of this area of mind. Are you a goal-orientated person? Short-range goals, long-range goals? When you say, I'm going to do something today, that's a goal. A goal to reach. When you say, I'm going to accomplish something in this year, that's a goal. Now, here's the way you set your goals. And here's where most people make the mistake in setting goals. The first goal that any individual should set, and if you haven't set it yet, is the life goal. Your life goal. What is this, the goal of this life? What's the highest goal of the attainment of this life? See, being one with God totally is my goal for this life, is to be the servant of God, to do whatever God wants me to do, to be one with God, to be at God's will, His desire, His knowledge, His beingness, to be at God conscious. That's the goal of my life. Now, every other goal that I make must be compatible with that goal. See? The ultimate goal. All other goals have to be compatible with it. Or they're irrelevant to your path. See, when you're concentrating, that's eliminating irrelevancies. And so by setting a goal, you're concentrating the mind and the desires. You're concentrating them. You're observing them. Observation is an active thing. It's an assertive thing. It's not like witnessing that happens in meditation. You witness in meditation, but when you're going through the colors, you're observing what you're seeing as you're going through. You're using observation. That's aggressive. Observation. It's aggressive. You see, witness is non-aggressive. I can witness everybody in this room. I see your aura is very clear. See, but then I can focus down on one individual. You see, in observation, I can start looking them over. But or I can look them over this way and witness them. There's a difference. One is aggressive, one is passive. So you're doing aggressive, passive, aggressive, passive, aggressive, passive. The energy movement up these chakras, up these energy vortexes. Aggressive, you've got to take the actions. You have to have passive emotions or they'll blow you away if you're too emotional, you see. You have to have an active mind. You have to be passive for meditation. You have to be active to bring your creative powers into being. You have to be passive to see. Be super conscious, you have to be passive. You see how that works? You're moving up this energy. And so you're going through these shifts all the time. Polarity shifts. Polarity shifts in consciousness. Polarity shifts. You can apply other patterns to it. You can put all aggressive energy in the bottom. See, all passive energy in the top. And have neutral energy in the middle. So you can align these.